You could imagine for a moment you find yourself in a very dark place where the only way to make it out of that encounter is to find some light. The darkness seems to surround you with no awareness of what the answer is. Perhaps you're like a little child we met this past week who, as a teenager, was beaten by her parents, abused, neglected, set aside, marginalized, and all of a sudden, one day she found herself encountering someone who said, "There's an answer beyond your darkness. There is a light, and that light can change your life forever." Or perhaps you would find yourself in a remote village like we were last Sunday, in a remote village where so little hope has arrived there that the only news they ever get is the news of one of their young men being killed in war. And as they hear that news, they realize it's dark. Inside of that particular part of the world, 10,000 have been buried. Inside that part of the world, there's a lot of darkness, but there's also an amazing light. And the light that Jesus talks about in John chapter 12 is really the light of the cross, because when the light shines on the cross, it reflects for each one of us the opportunity to find hope, meaning, purpose, direction in light. And so all of a sudden, you find yourself where Jesus begins to tell those that love him the most that he has to die. Well, you can imagine that their feelings about the whole idea of him sacrificing himself was overwhelming to them, because they wanted a king, and they wanted a king to reign over all. But Jesus made it clear, in order to reign, he had to die. And in that death, he opened the door of opportunity for every one of us, even to this day. And so, as you think about that, you begin to reflect on what Scripture says about the whole idea of the light of the cross. And it's interesting, because in John chapter 12, we find ourselves in a place where we find words penned by John that are some of the most painful words we could ever imagine, because these are the words that John absolutely amplifies as he expresses what it is that Jesus is talking about. Jesus comes to tell them there's a light that can shine. It can shine brightly inside of all their hearts and life. And when you choose this light, something happens inside of you that transforms the way you live. But then he comes to a place where he acknowledges, and you see it so evident and so clear in verse 43. Notice what he said: "For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God." I want you to get this in mind, because here's what really happened. They chose darkness over light because of what somebody else thought, of someone else's opinion. They wanted everyone to say they were a hero in this world. But the reality is, being a hero in this world does not guarantee anything about the world to come. And so as a result, Jesus very clearly illustrates for them about the importance of light. And I don't know if you're like me, but when the light shines brightly, something powerful happens. Because what I realize is his light transforms the way I think, transforms the way I see life, transforms the perspective that I have about everything that God's placed before me. And what you discover is the Scripture speaks to light in so many powerful ways. And I want us to look at just a few verses just to make sure we open our minds and hearts up to this. First of all, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the words will be on your screen. And so if you have a Bible, no problem, just look at those. And as you look at it, you'll see something. Because it's here, he makes a very clear reference point in verses 4 and 5 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Listen to what he said: "But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness." Then if you turn back to Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus begins to obviously give what is one of the most profound messages he ever gave on earth with the Sermon on the Mount. Look, if you would, Matthew 5 and verse 16. And notice what he said. He says here, "Let your light so shine before men." And why does he want you to let your light shine? "So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." In other words, he's saying, turn your light on. Turn it on. And as you turn that light on, something begins to happen inside of you, because it shows you things. And what happens here is Jesus makes it clear, you got to make sure your light's shining. And you don't want it to be something that's a very dim light that barely can be seen. You want to be a light that transformed anybody who sees it. Then in Philippians chapter 2, if you'll hang a right from John into Philippians, turn there, and as you're turning there, you realize here Paul writes to this church at Philippi, and what he's trying to get across is that as they begin to encounter the way they're supposed to live life, they're going to run into a crooked world. And in Philippians chapter 2, look at it with me if you would, because in verse 15, he makes this statement, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And notice what Paul said, among whom you appear as lights in the world. As lights in the world. Can you imagine what he was saying was, the only light we ever reflect is our own. Is Christ in us, reflecting into everyone else's life. So here's what I want to ask you regarding your own life. How serious are you about the assignment you have to live as a light? How serious are you at living out this assignment of being inside of the light? Because here's what you discover. Anything I'm serious about, I can focus on. As I focus on it, I can get clarity. As I get clarity, I discover what it is that needs to happen inside of me. I recently was encountering some dialogue with some folks who were talking about the bombardment in the culture of all the different things that come at us from social media. For example, social media has created the greatest crisis in the history of any generation in America. Because now you no longer have to get bullied at school, you get bullied on the internet. And it's created a suicide epidemic. It's created all kinds of response. And what you discover is you got to decide what kind of light you want to shine. Because if your light shines, something begins to happen inside of who you are. 40% of the teenagers who live in our culture have an app on their phone that you as a parent could never see. Because when they pop a message on that, it disappears immediately. Encrypted away into the world. But the message sent goes to somebody who looks at it and realizes that our world has turned so far away from light. And so Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that. And in John chapter 12, look at with me if you would at verses 35 and 36, and notice what he said. So Jesus said to them, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. I want you to see this so clearly. And today I want to break this message apart a little different than typical, because I want you to see something. Because Jesus says, first of all, you got to see yourself. You got to see yourself in such a light that all of a sudden, the answer to the darkness of the world doesn't rest with you, but it rests in Christ. You got to see that what Jesus says here is, you got to be careful because you don't want darkness to overtake you. You don't want it to take away your direction, take away your hope, take away your purpose, take away your meaning in life. And what he says here is that it's very clear. He identifies a couple things that are very important to us. First of all, he makes it clear that we realize there's danger. There's a danger of darkness that we do not want to minimize or miss, because the world does throw darkness at people, and that darkness comes and invades their hearts and lives, and as a result, they end up making unwise choices and decisions that affect the rest of their life. And so all of a sudden, you find Jesus saying it, making it clear that you've got to make sure you make this choice. And what he says here, the light is among you for a little bit longer. And here's what Jesus was saying. I'm hanging out with you. Don't miss your opportunity. I'm here to tell you that the light you need is me. He's saying very clearly, you don't want to miss the danger of that. And here's what he was saying. And it's no different than what we're sitting in this room today. If we can sit in this room and ignore the light, then all we have is the darkness of the world that invades our lives. And so he says, you got to be careful to watch out for the danger. But he also makes it very clear that you got to make sure you encounter the true light. Because what he says is, Jesus is the light. And if you'll notice what he makes it clear, when you have the light in verse 36, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. Isn't that a great thought? I mean, to become family, become a part of something. I have in my pocket something that is a treasure to me. It was made by a little girl while on a mission trip. She gave one of these to all of our folks. It's a flower that has been beaded together. But the interesting thing is, this is a girl who's beaten mercilessly every day. Her life is shattered by the pain of the choice of her parents to be alcoholics, her parents choosing to abuse her. And when she found out that people were coming who represented light, she began to work. She began to work, and she began to put together the beads that would be a flower that would symbolize that even in the darkest moments of her life, she had found the light that caused her flower to bloom. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. That is the message of what light can do. And oftentimes people will say, it seems to be challenging for you to do so many different things and impact so many people. And the truth of the matter is, it's not us. It's God at work all over the world. Listen, the gospel is not restricted to the boundaries of Atlanta, Georgia, or America. The gospel goes all over the world. And little girls like this who give me their flower, who go home to be beaten by their mother, to be brutalized by their father, these little children need to know there is hope. And so this past week, over 1,000 children got to experience hope. And I wanted to take just a moment to show you something, because this year we developed a theme that connected into everything we're doing all over the world, and it's called Engage. It has to do with the ability to recognize that you can commit yourself to something that would transform the world. And I want you to watch this video, and I want you to look in the eyes of these children, because you're going to see over 250 children who hopelessly live in conditions beyond compare. You're going to see hundreds of other children who live without light. And what you discover is when you encounter the light and you share the light, something begins to happen. The video asks a simple question: what can five people do? Well, I tell you, with five people with the light of the gospel can change the world. Watch this video.
Thank you.
You can imagine, as you watch that video, you realize something. There's the pictures and faces of those who look for a light to shine brightly. And it's interesting to me because when I was watching that, I was thinking about all the bright faces of all the children that God has brought into our family. And the reality is, whether it's here in Jerusalem or all over the world, God has called us to take the Great Commission of Hope. And what He's told us to do is take light. And so Jesus makes it clear. You've found yourself causing your light to shine brightly, and what will happen? People's lives will be impacted. But if your light shines dimly, many will not see the difference of what Christ can do. And so you discover that Jesus makes it clear in these first two verses that there's something going on that's powerful. But then in verse 37, all of a sudden, He began to realize something. In fact, you look at the latter part of verse 36. He said, "These things Jesus spoke, and He went away and hid Himself from them." Now I want you to imagine for a second. All of a sudden, Jesus plays hide and seek, but they can't find Him. He says to them, "You got to be in the light," but all of a sudden, He disappears. And I don't know if you had any dark moments in your life where you wondered where the Lord was, wondered what He was up to, wondered what He was trying to say to you, wondered how He was going to guide you. Then all of a sudden, the light got a hold of you. And you realize in the darkness of those moments, He became everything to you. And as you walk through that valley, the shadow of death didn't get the best of you because there was a light shining. And that light shined from the cross. And what I want you to see today is this, is when the light shines on us, something begins to happen inside of us. Look at verse 37, because I want you to see, secondly, that when you get to the 37th verse, you begin to see prophecy being fulfilled, and you begin to see people living for approval of those who are around them. And living for the approval of men is always disastrous. Look at it with me, verse 37. "But though He had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in Him." Now, I want you to stop there and think about it for a minute. Jesus had done everything humanly possible to get the message across. He had healed, He had fed thousands. He had shown them that the answer rested in Him. But they all sat there going, "Show me more. Show me more." I'm going to tell you what you discover. There is nothing more dangerous than for you or I to say, "God, show me more." Because sometimes what He shows us is in the midst of all of our difficulty, we need light even more than any other point in our lives. And so all of a sudden, they began to not get it at all. And verse 38, they come to Isaiah. "This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah, the prophet, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe. For Isaiah said, He has blinded their eyes, He has hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes or perceive with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. These things Isaiah said because he saw His glory, and he spoke of Him. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing Him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God." Now I want you to think about this for a second. Here are people who they have the chance encounter of being able to see their lives change completely. And it's one of the things that's most powerful about the gospel. The gospel is good news. The gospel changes hearts of anyone. This past week, in a remote village, we found ourselves preaching and speaking to those who found a very depressing world that they're in. But when we came to the gospel, 12 people gave their heart to Christ, and the light came inside of them. And it was interesting because one of those young people was named Amelia. And I asked Amelia after, I said, "Is this a good day for you?" And she, in her broken aspects of English, speaking better than most, she said, "It's a very, 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 very good day." Well, you know what I thought? The light has shined in her heart and changed her life forever. And what I want you to see today is this. When we see that, we realize it doesn't matter what others think. It matters what God thinks. Because what matters most is that we see the approval of God in our lives. And how do we encounter approval? How do you get an A+? You surrender yourself and encounter the cross. Because the cross is what is the answer. You heard me testifying to what Ruth heard in her heart at 11 and a half years old at a Billy Graham crusade. And Billy Graham, what did he preach all of his years of preaching? He preached the gospel. He preached the cross. And when I tell you right now, if we walk away from the cross, we walk away from wisdom. We walk away from life, and we walk away from hope. But you and I know this. We can't walk away from that because we see in this text, Jesus makes it clear. Some people, they heard it, but they didn't actually act on it because they were too concerned about others. And what I want you to see today is that when you look at this idea of living for the approval of men, I have encountered people who lived in disastrous circumstances because they wanted somebody to say, "Hey, you're okay. You're the best. you're going to make it through this. And what happens here, Jesus makes it clear, they are going to fulfill what Isaiah talked about. They're going to miss everything that God intended for them. And what I want you to see today is this, first of all, when there is a failure to believe in the midst of darkness, the life always becomes more difficult and more challenging. And their failure to believe caused them to actually look at this and say, you know what, I'd like to believe that, but I can't go that far. I mean, I'd like to be all in, but I can't go there. I can't take that step. And what we see today is this. You're either all in or all out. You either choose to walk in the light or you choose to live outside the light. And listen carefully. In this world, it is so dark that if you let the light pervade your heart, it will change your life forever. But if you resist that light, you end up missing what it is God intended. So today I want you to think about that, because here they had all this opportunity, yet they, in verse 37, yet they were not believing in him. Can you imagine? It wouldn't be any different though today to be sitting in church and not realize that what you've experienced today, you've experienced the reality of three who said he is everything. You experience the reality of children looking for an answer. You've experienced the reality of a story that unfolded in another faraway land. And listen carefully. Until you hold the hand of a pastor who has ministered to 42 widows, all of which under 30 have watched their husband die by mortar fire on the border of eastern Ukraine, you can't understand. These people need hope. They need light. They need to know that God cares about them. You see, all my life I've thought about widows and orphans as being those who are older in life and those who have been orphaned as children. And the reality is that in these families, all these young moms face the same thing. How do we make it when we have nothing? Because there's nothing available to them. But here's what you discover. When he begins to come into their world, he becomes a light to them and begins to light the path for them to encounter life the way that God intended. And so be careful when you read this text. Don't miss what's transpiring, because it's interesting. Their present day pressure, watch this, stole their future. And listen, we live in a day of immense pressure. Sometimes we fail at things. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by things. Sometimes we feel like we got to fit in no matter what. And all that present day pressure, if we're not careful, will steal away the direction God has for us for all of our future. And I want to say to you today, just think about this, whether you're in the balcony or downstairs, if you have something coming at you, you always need enough light to show you which way to go. And that light is Jesus. He guides us all the way. And there couldn't be a more tragic verse than what we read when we come to that 43rd verse. For they loved, and the key word there is loved. In other words, they didn't just like people saying, you're doing okay. They liked people saying, man, you are the best of the best. You are amazing. And it's interesting, because what they wanted an emphatic affirmation from somebody who didn't even count. Didn't even count. And yet, as a result, they missed the best of life. A third thing I want you to see. So first of all, you got to be careful to make sure you understand that as we head towards Easter, see the answer in the light, not in the darkness. But secondly, make sure that you do not spend your life waiting for somebody to affirm you who, when it's all over, won't matter. But if you don't hear him say, well done, then you miss the most affirming words you could ever hear. Can you imagine entering into eternity and all you hear is what happened? Instead of well done, what happened? Tears flowing down the face of a pastor in Ukraine the very first day we were there, named Sergey, and he began to cry. He began to tell the story of his prodigal son. His son walked away from God, walked away from life, walked away from everything that was connected his whole life story. Hopelessly, he realized there was no chance for his son to turn back, but his son went into the military, and his son found himself on the eastern front of Ukraine, watching people die. And it's interesting what death does. Sometimes death points you back to light. Points you back to light. And all of a sudden, he came home to his father, broken. And broken in the circumstances that he could not control himself. And he realized, Dad, I walked away from the one thing I needed the most, and that is the light of the world. That father, with tears running down his face, he had the amazing story of a son who was a prodigal who came home. And what you discover when you read this passage, Jesus is looking for any prodigal of any generation who will say, you know what, it isn't my way, it's God's way, it's best, I want to go that way. But it doesn't stop there, because you'll notice, if you would, in verse 44, and Jesus cried out and said, And you can't miss, he cried it out. He said it so piercingly. He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I've come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my saying has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life, and therefore the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Now here's what you get when you read this, because here you see all of a sudden that Jesus brings it back to recognizing the impact of light. And he does it in a couple different ways. First of all, he makes sure they understand something. He's following God's plan. He's following the Father's plan. In other words, God has a plan there. And let me tell you what you discover in life. If you're not careful, you will develop your own plan and your own agenda. And here's what you'll say. Well, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then I'm going to do this. And if this happens and I accomplish it, then I'll be very happy because I've succeeded in this. And all of a sudden, you realize something. Watch this. Success without Jesus is darkness. Because what happens is you start thinking that you're in control. And there's, let me tell you something. You've got to realize very carefully that the only one who controls the next breath of your life is not you. It's the one who created you. And he can take you home at any juncture, at any time, and call you home. But you got to be wise enough to go, you know what, I want to live in the light. Because what he was saying here was, I'm operating under God's agenda. I'm operating under the Father's plan. The Father has told me I need to do one thing. And it's interesting because Jesus brings it down to one concept in verse 50. I know that his commandment is eternal life. And here's what he's saying. Jesus came so that we could have life, not just here on earth, but life when we see him face to face. That's what he desires for every one of us, that we'd have eternal life. And how do you get eternal life? You have to be willing to acknowledge that you do wrong things. And when you do wrong things, you've got to have an answer for the wrongness you've created. When you do the wrong thing, how do you find an answer? You've got to be willing to come to him and say, Lord, you've got to forgive me what it is that hit me. I don't know why I made that choice. I don't know why I went that direction. And all of a sudden, the light starts shining. And I tell you what you discover. When you start repenting of what it is, or removing from your life the things that could steal your life, something begins to happen that only light could do. It begins to expose for you a path you could walk on that is absolutely amazing and profound. And so here he was fulfilling the Father's plan, but he was making it clear that anybody who encountered the light would be saved for eternity, not just for a moment. In other words, they would be saved for the rest of their journey of faith. And what's powerful about that is when you and I come into a life-changing encounter with Christ, it changes everything about who we are. It changes the way we live. It changes the very heartbeat of who he's called us to be. And what he does here very clearly is he makes it very clear, but so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. That was his statement in verse 46. Everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. I don't know if you've ever had the lights go off suddenly at your house because there was a storm or something blow through, but you immediately begin to think, do I have a candle? Do I have a flashlight? Do I have anything that to light up what it is that's very dark here? Well, here all of a sudden Jesus begins to tell them that there's something about his house is lit up only by him. Let me give you an illustration of that. Pull the lights completely down just for a second, Nathan. Whoever we're at, pull those lights down. Now, inside of this room, because the stained glass lights something up and because you see a little bit of light, you can see something. But then when you turn the lights back up, think about the difference. You can see exactly where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do, and watch this carefully. Bring the lights back down again. Why would we ever choose to live inside of darkness? Have you ever been walking through your own house and you looked at that, bring your lights back up, you walked through there, it was dark, and you thought you knew every part of your house, but you ran into something because you forgot it was there? And what you discover is you may think you know everything about your world, but there's someone who knows every step you'll ever take, and he's the one who claims your name. And what I love about this passage, as we head towards Easter, the simple, profound question is asked, will you look at the light and be changed forever? That's the most profound question we could ask. Because the truth of the matter is, whether we are here or somewhere in the world, we live for the light of the cross. Because what you discover is what Jesus did for us, we can never do for ourselves. These crosses are draped. These crosses are a symbol that have been connected to our story from the very beginning. Because we realized something, that if one heart was to be who God intended for it to be, our light needed to shine from the cross. We didn't need to elevate any leaders. We didn't need to elevate a bunch of other programs. We needed to elevate the cross. And draped around these crosses today is purple, preparing us for the awareness that what happened on Friday is we come together. We come together with an awareness that Jesus had to go to the cross. And let me tell you, Easter is more important now than ever before because we've allowed the confusion of our culture to take our sight off of the cross. And it's time for us to get our sight back on the cross, because when we walk in the light, we see exactly what it is that God has done for us. And today I want to ask you a question. Would you be willing to walk in the light? Would you be willing to give your heart to Him? Would you be willing to do just like the 81 people who gave their hearts to Christ in Ukraine? Would you be willing to do that in Atlanta, Georgia? You see, the truth of the matter is, if you're willing to give your heart to Him, I'm going to tell you what you discover. It changes everything about who you are. Everything. Not part of you, everything. I end with this story. There's a young girl there named Ahita. It's a unique spelling. Found herself on the street as a little kid. Found herself completely out of the home where her parents were abusive and painful and hard and created heartache for her. But one day she encountered somebody who told her there's a light that can shine in your heart in the darkest moment. She gave her heart to Christ. Last week she was telling me her story. When she gets down to pray, her drunk parents drag her around the house and tell her, do not bring yourself before God. You know why? Because they're so guilty that what she has, they can't take away from her. And they have nothing. And what I want you to see today is this. You may be sitting there saying, you know, I've never had a problem with being drunk or anything. I'm not talking about, the truth of the matter is, listen, it was not the drunkenness of her parents, it was the disobedience of their heart. And we live in a day where we need to look at our lives and go, you know what, I want to be a part of that. I want to say this one other thing to you. It may be you're here and you realize something. You need to be committed to a church that lifts up the cross, that lets the light shine brightly, and you need to make sure your life matters. And if you want to do that, then you come to the right place. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this amazing day you've given us. Thank you for the testimony of the three who said yes to Christ. Thank you for the profound and amazing way that you work in all of our lives. And whether it's our team of five or our team of six in Honduras, or whether our team going to Romania or our team going to Tanzania, or all the members of our fellowship going all over this city, Lord, we are representing the light of the world. And so I think about those here in this room who realize they could be a part of this vibrant, dynamic, and amazing church. They could help us shine the light brighter right here in Atlanta. Lord, in our city, we need hope, we need direction, we need purpose for every person. The way we give it is give it to Jesus. Give them Jesus, and what happens, He changes their lives forever. So Lord, if there's someone here who've never given their heart to you, maybe they're awareness that something began to speak to their heart in the middle of this message, they can't get away from it. And they realize something. If they died today, they would die without you. And they realize they don't want that at all. They want you. They want the light shining inside. If there's someone here, may they set aside the approval of men. Whether their mom or dad or anyone else knows about what's going on inside them, they know what's going on inside them, Lord. Speak to their hearts to follow you, to allow them to encounter you. So, Lord, I pray in a special way that you would speak to every heart that's here. There's a family here that needs to be committed to what we're about. Speak to their heart, Lord. Lord, you're the only one who can do it. We don't have the giftedness or the eloquence to say anything that even begins to touch what the light of the cross can do. And so, Lord, bless us as we respond to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.